Hey, let's go down to San Diego. Bring in Alex Pavlovich, who writes for the Bay Area Newspaper Group. Al, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Marty.
Well, you know, your blog is very interesting, very similar to what you guys are seeing down there. This is a ball club that is not hitting. And is there pressure on the manager here at all, or is he taking the big view of, hey, don't worry, everything's going to work out?
I don't think there's any pressure. I think, you know, we've seen this before. We saw it last year in Cincinnati, which was a lot worse, frankly, than it is right now. And given the ballpark they were in, it was really that much worse. It's right now they face some good pitching and some of their key guys, Buster Posey, Michael Morris, aside from the home run, has not been very good for four or five games. And Hunter Pence hasn't really hit all season. Pablo Sandoval hasn't hit all year. So it's one of those things that I think if this happened in June, we wouldn't be noticing it as much. But because it's the middle of April or near the end of April here, and then we're only a few games into the season, I think it's pretty glaring when you look up and see those 171s and 188s on the scoreboard.
Yeah, because we try to figure out what's going to happen during a baseball season. And, boy, did we miss it? Is Pence going to hit 120 for the year? Is that possible? And, you tend to get into that mindset. But pitching-wise, you want to look at the positive side of April. And is this rotation one that maybe this could be a rotation that could go through the 162 with very little tweaking and give him a good game most of the time? You think that's possible?
Yeah, that's where, I think if I look at this team right now, I'm still pretty optimistic. And I don't know what they're going to get from Lincecum for 33 starts. I don't know what they're going to get from Ryan Vogelsong for 33 starts. I'm not sure the Giants know with either guy. I think there have been signs with both of them, but there have also been some times where they've been really inconsistent. But I look at the top three, and between Bumgarner, the way Kane has thrown the last two times out, and the way Tim Hudson's thrown all year, I think you're in pretty good shape if you throw those three guys out there, 32, 33 times, you're going to be there at the end of the season. And there are ways to kind of figure it out if they can't figure out the back end of the rotation. It's usually a little bit easier to go out and get a starter at the trade deadline than it is to get a big-time position player. So I think right now that you still have to be optimistic because I do think most of these guys are going to start hitting. And the main thing in this division and the main thing with this team has always been starting pitching and the bullpen. And right now they have the top three and they have a really good bullpen. So I think they're still in pretty good shape.
Is there pressure not to have these 13 pitchers? I know you're going to Colorado, and boy, you have one 9-8 game in Colorado, and you're thankful you have the 13. But when is this going to change? Because you do come home with Cleveland and San Diego, and, at this ballpark, you generally don't have to, get through 13 pitchers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised next Friday if we have something different. I think it's nice, and there's certainly a lot of guys who are pitching well in that bullpen, but at the same time, we've seen a couple times where they're just really short on that bench and just don't have a lot of flexibility. I think we saw it last night. I'm sure Morris would have stayed it anyway just to kind of get that, just the chance that he'd come up in the ninth inning. But still, you look down at the bench, and it's pretty short. If you put Gregor Blanco in there, that's your last outfielder. So, you don't really have anybody else to come in and pinch hit. You don't have other options in the middle innings because you're kind of using guys that you would rather use in the late innings. So I think they could really use one more guy. They will go back to that at some point. It's just a matter of time. And probably after they get through Coors, it's a rough thing to go down there. And even when you're pitching well, it's always somewhere where you want extra arms. So I think we'll see it this week at Coors. But after that, you probably have either Juan Perez or somebody else come back up and give them just a little bit more coverage.
Yeah, I looked it up last night. We were talking about it. Tyler Colvin, I don't think so. I mean, he's like 140, 206, and, really just struggling down there. The one guy that they don't really need right now is Tony Abreu, who's off to a great start down there, 350, 371, and 518 for him. So, and Susak isn't coming up, but this Adam Duvall, remember Adam Duvall from spring training? He's got 6 home runs in Fresno now.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Adam fits, and maybe at some point you see him start taking fly balls in the left field or something. I'm not sure if he could handle that, but he's somebody who right now probably doesn't fit just because he's mostly a third baseman and really not very good defensively, so somebody you'd only be using as a bat. But he's a guy who I think he lost a little bit of weight coming into this season. He looked better to me physically and really just looked to be having much better swings this camp than he did in previous camps, and somebody who's interesting down the line. And, we talk so much about Pablo Sandoval and what's happening with his contract, and if he does end up leaving at the end of this year, they really don't have an heir apparent at that position, and Adam might be one of the guys who I don't know that he's the long-term solution there, but might be a guy who at some point gets a look and gets a chance to kind of get some big league at bats.
Yeah, he needs a big league glove, and that's been his issue. He's out of Louisville, you know, a college kid, and again, in Fresno, it's nice to see him hit the ball hard. You love to see that, but boy, the glove is not there yet, I will tell you that. I think his fielding average is like 920 or something like that, so we'll see. But hey, if you can hit, I'll find a place for you on the team. That's always the way I think about it.
We know you like those guys who can hit.
Yes, I've said it before. He can hit. Hey, can this team hit? I said they can hit. I've said it all through spring training. How do you explain, and let's just from a technical point, people go through slumps, but how does Buster Posey go 1-for-24? What's going on with him? Is he pulling his head? Is he late on the fastball? What's up with him?
You know, that's the incredible one. I think we've seen Hunter Pence and seen that he's really streaky, and he can have these months where we saw last September, he hits 11 home runs in a month, and then he can have these stretches where he goes 1-for-30, and that's just something he does. I think Sandoval is the same way, but Buster is somebody you don't expect to really look up and see a 1-for-24 out of him. I think for him, I've noticed when he gets in these bumps, it seems to be a strike zone issue and doesn't really have quite the right feel for where the strike zone is, and maybe extends his zone a little bit. And other times, too, you know, we saw last night, he was pretty upset as you'll see Buster on a called strike three. And I thought it was a pretty good pitch and one that you have to kind of protect, but he's just out of whack right now. And that happens to him every once in a while. It is a little surprising when it happens just because he's such a talented hitter. But, you know, he's like anybody else. You're going to have these stretches where you just have a rough week or so.
Yeah, you know, you can explain it for Pence. You can explain it for Sandoval, for Brandon Crawford from time to time, even Morse. You know, he has a history of striking out. But this guy, you know, this is a batting champion. So I'm just curious if there's any discussion, you know, what's up with him. Is he, you know, because he's in better shape. I know he got banged up a little bit in that collision at first base, nothing major. But he does look a little late on the fastball right now.
Yeah, I think that's why we saw him get a day off on Friday, too. Buster is somebody who will never, ever tell you if something is bothering him. For the most part, he just doesn't believe in that. He's like Matt Cain in that way. And Bruce Bochy really tries to do the same thing with Buster. And he hasn't had anything officially, but I wouldn't be surprised just given what happened with Goldschmidt and some of the foul tips he took on the last homestand. He's just maybe not quite 100% if his 95% in some way and something's bothering him that he's not telling us about. I think you just see the swings he has and you see kind of some of the at-bats and some of the frustration and it's a little evident that maybe not everything is right. I don't think it's serious. I just think maybe it's something that's caused him to be weighed a little bit and be a little bit off. And you look up at some point and all of a sudden he's down to 237. So
yeah,
it can happen pretty quickly in this game.
Yeah, and early in the season it can change pretty quickly. You have a couple of 3-for-5 days and all of a sudden you hit 320 again. So it is early. Hey, you saw the lineup today. I think you've tweeted it. Pagan, Pence, Posey, Morse, Belt, and Arias is in there hitting sixth. They Hicks, Crawford, and Lincecum against Robbie Erlin. Know much about Robbie Erlin, Alex?
No, I think they're comfortable with him here. I think that's probably the guy that if they talk about. It's actually a pretty good rotation if Dean Kennedy is back to his old self. And Tyson Ross, certainly the other night, looks like he's kind of turned the corner. So I think Erlin is maybe the odd man out there if they can figure it out. And right now, I talked to some guys down here yesterday. They're just trying to get through, you know, halfway into the season here, stay in the race, and see if they can go out there and add a little bit. I think it's actually a pretty good team, which is something you have to take in mind. I know people always assume the Giants are going to come down here and just take 2 out of 3 every single time, but this is a team that's put together pretty well, and Erlin is kind of the weak spot in that rotation, but he's been pretty good this year, so it's a talented club, and certainly we know Bud Blackwell does a good job. So I think you can't really take a game like this for granted. You look at the lineup they put out there today, it's kind of strange. They have Xavier Nady hitting cleanup, but Bud Black seems to know what he's doing so far this year.
Yeah, I love Bud Black. And it's he's sort of in a smaller market, you know, not under the microscope all the time. But this guy will bunt, squeeze play, double steal, hit and run. He will take the game to you with his personnel of that little speed thing. He will take the game to you. And I'll tell you, when you play the Padres, you better be awake.
You like him more than Kirk Gibson, right?
I hate Kirk Gibson. Kirk, he does nothing. Come on. And he can't even handle the players.
You know? Yeah. I am not a Gibby fan.
I don't say hate. Hate is a strong word. I think you can manage a team better than Kirk Gibson does. All right,
yeah,
hey.
It's a mess down there.
All right, hey, Al, thank you so much. Alex Pavlovich, you can follow him on Twitter at Pavlovic, Alex Pavlovich. Al, have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too, Marty.
All right. Always a pleasure to have him on. Bay Area Newspaper Group at Alex Pavlovich.